Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
This is a special report on the Hidden Killers podcast.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage of the Alex Murdaugh trial as we enter into audio hour number two of the day here on January 26th of 2023 as cross-examination continues in the courtroom. Let's go there right now.
You may proceed.
Your Honor. Deputy Green, for my own edification, I'm curious. I've called over several weeks, left you voicemails for you to call me back and talk with. Have I not?
I haven't received any voicemails.
You don't check your voicemail?
Did you call my cell phone?
No, I called your office.
Okay.
I don't have your cell phone.
Okay. It's possible they sent you to the wrong one. I don't know.
But you've spent an extensive amount of time talking to Mr. Waters about your testimony, have you not?
I've spoken with him a few times, yes.
How many times?
Three or four, maybe at least.
And has he reviewed with you the points he was trying to make?
We've discussed the body camera footage extensively.
Right. Let me go to a specific piece of video. I apologize, Your Honor, the Navy situation required me to have my Navy guys come work on it and work from there. Did you get that list? So, as he's preparing this, you indicated you were asked by Mr. Water, said there was water on the ground, right? It hadn't been raining, and you saw water. Right?
That's correct.
And as I understand it, and we're going to look at the video just a minute, that water was primarily, at least what we see in your video, on the concrete area around the dog pens, correct?
That's what it appeared, yes.
Okay. And let's go to that part. Sorry, Your Honor, the technology is difficult.
Glad to help. Glad to help.
Got
it.
Go ahead, open the door. Okay, back it up just a little bit, could you? Just back it up a little bit. Okay, yeah, now start right there. I think I just stopped it just a second.
Come on, bro.
Now, you're walking down in front of the dog pens. Is this the water you're referring to?
Yes.
And you have dogs?
I have one dog.
You don't keep him in a pen?
No, he stays in the house.
Okay. But if you had hunting dogs and you had this line of you, how many pens do you think there were?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I mean, there's a lot.
8, 9, 10?
Sure.
And are you familiar with the concept of washing a pen out after a dog defecates in the pen?
I've never personally done it, but I'm sure that's what you would do to clean out a pen.
Okay. And in the pen, I mean, there's water inside the pens and outside the pens, correct?
That's what it looks like.
Okay. Go ahead.
The video needs to be stopped for counsel to ask this question and for the witness to respond.
You're posing a question while playing a video.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Or making a statement while playing the video.
I'm sorry, the technology again is beyond my experience. Okay, so again, this shows the same area, shows water on the concrete outside these dog pens, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Go to the next one, please. So again, this shows, and actually there's a light shining and you see a couple dogs. So those pens are occupied by dogs. There's water outside the pen and inside the pen as if somebody attempted to wash something out of the pen, correct?
There is water both inside and outside of the pen, yes.
You got one more? No, let's not do it. So I want you to go to the transcript. You need to switch over to the conditions. Again, I apologize, Your Honor, but the technology is more complicated than. So let's proceed on. Let's see if I can clarify a couple matters. Let's talk about this shotgun. You This is the shotgun that Mr. Murdaugh was carrying or had leaning up a car against the car when you got there. Is that correct?
It was leaning up against that vehicle, yes.
And according to what you testified to just a moment ago, these are the shells, the chain of custody on the shotgun and the shell. They went together.
Whenever I released the shotgun to the sled agent who took possession of it, I was unaware of any shells that may have been inside of it at the time that it was handed over. That was what was discovered inside the gun, is my understanding.
Okay. Where's that chain of evidence documented in the group? Okay, would you publish this to the jury, please?
You would like me to read it?
Yes, please.
The Camo Benelli Super Black Eagle 3 12-gauge shotgun, serial number U573210E17, one unfired shot shell 12-gauge Federal, one unfired shot shell Winchester 16-gauge.
Okay, so there's a 12-gauge shell and a 16-gauge shell.
Yes.
12-gauge shotgun.
Yes.
This may be way beyond your experience, but can you fire a 16-gauge shotgun shell from a 12-gauge shotgun?
I wouldn't recommend trying it.
You recommend what?
I would not recommend trying it. I don't know that it would actually work or not.
Could it result in damage to the person trying to fire the shotgun?
More than likely.
Jack, he's already said he doesn't have an answer to that.
Objection's overruled.
So you would not recommend, you can actually harm yourself, it could blow up if you pull the trigger on a 16-gauge and a 12-gauge shotgun.
I've never tried it nor seen it tried, so I don't know.
And the reason you don't do that is because you could have personal harm from doing it, right?
It's possible.
So this shotgun, according to the chain of evidence you just read, has a 16-gauge and a 12-gauge in it.
Correct.
And it was leaning up against a car.
It was. The shotgun was.
Now, I'm sort of interested as to...
Sure.
I'm sort of interested as to why, well, let me just cut to the chase on this. There's discussions on this tape, or maybe others, that there was a theory that Paul had shot his mother and then shot himself. Is that correct? That's out on the scene.
Yes.
She had been shot multiple times, and he had been shot with a shotgun, at least one of the shots, y'all believe was upward. That's why his brains were all over the ceiling.
That part, I don't know. I wasn't involved in that part of it.
At the scene.
I did not discuss anything being shot upward. I don't recall saying that.
Did you hear discussions to that of your fellow officers?
Of a shot being fired upward? That's what it looked like they were saying, yes.
Okay. And further, I think y'all, in front of you, one of the officers saying that brains are on the ceiling, there's blood all over the place, correct?
I don't recall them saying brain was upward. I don't recall.
Okay. And further, you, as you're discussing this with them, indicate, let me make sure I get this correct. You indicate there are multiple, or someone indicates to you there are multiple blackout rounds around Maggie's body in the vicinity, correct?
Not rounds, but shell casings.
Sorry, shell casings. Now, let me ask you this. When you got there, didn't the fire chief and the fire department arrive before you did?
No, sir. I was first on scene.
Okay. Did they arrive while you were there?
One of the fire rescue workers, I believe it was Barry McCoy.
And when you got there, we hear unidentified person, and in your notes you indicate it was the fire chief, I believe, that indicated to you, pointed out to you tire tracks, and you went over and looked at those tire tracks, and there were multiple tire tracks coming and going, correct?
I don't know that someone indicated them to me. I believe I just saw them.
Okay. And what did you do to preserve those?
The tire tracks? Nothing.
And you certainly are not an expert in tire tracks.
I'm not.
So you couldn't tell whether it was multiple vehicles or one vehicle?
No.
And it may have been multiple vehicles?
May have been.
Did you take pictures of the tracks?
I did not take any pictures of the scene.
You instruct anyone to take pictures of the crash?
No, sir. That's not my job.
When Sweat arrived, did you tell them about the crash?
No, sir. Not my job.
Do you regret not doing that?
It's not part of my job description.
But what your job to even tell them there were multiple fire drives?
If it had come up, if I had been asked, yes.
And in addition to that, since they were not secured in any way, multiple vehicles, law enforcement vehicles and others, drove over those tracks.
That's possible. I wasn't over there the whole time to know what kind of vehicles were driving in the area.
Well, by the time Sweat got there, did you, strike that? You never took Sweat over and pointed out tire tracks?
Not to my recollection, I did not.
Was there somebody there at this with your department that should have done that?
I have no idea what they do with their job descriptions as far as what they point out to additional investigators.
Did somebody from Fire and Rescue point out footprints?
I believe on my body camera there is a fire rescue individual pointing out some footprints.
Okay. Did you take pictures of those?
I did not.
Did you tell Sweat about them?
I did not.
So nobody attempted to determine whether those were Maggie's footprints, Paul's footprints, or at least that night, there was no effort by you or your department to preserve those.
By me? No, I cannot speak for everyone else.
Okay. And let me ask you this. How about go to 4439, please? And let's watch 10, at least 10, if not 15 seconds of that.
And one of them is in the
object. Well, you know what? Let's go before you do all that. You should
probably. Sure.
You can go to page 17, line 10.
Your Honor, I'd object. They're putting a transcript.
No, we're going to play the video.
It's up on the screen.
It's up on the screen, Your Honor. I'd object.
I apologize.
Can you take it down, please?
We have to prepare a transcript. It's synced with the video.
Okay, well, I object to that. Your Honor, I object. This transcript's not been provided. There's no need for a transcript. The officer is here and can play the video and he can comment.
I've heard a transcript being offered.
No, I'm using it to direct the audio-visual man to
record. Well, you have questions for the witness, questions for your IT guy. You're just reading, ready to proceed. I understand. We're waiting for you. Okay.
Yep. I'm ready. What was the time? 17.
It's page 17.
Thank you.
rather than having to play this, let me just cut to the chase. It's taking too much time. On this transfer, on this tape, fire rescue person says to you, I believe you agreed with me, set of prints behind the trailer. You were told there's...
Jack, he's publishing again this transcript.
I'm not publishing, I'm asking. Did you...
I object.
I haven't heard a question yet.
I'd like to make one. Were you told by fire and rescue there's a set of prints behind the trailer?
Yes.
Okay. And did he tell you that they attempted to not disturb those footprints in any way?
I don't recall exactly what was said.
Let me further ask you. You asked Mr. Murdaugh, we heard this on the tape, you talked about the tire tracks coming and going, and he told you those weren't his tire tracks, correct?
He did say that they were not.
Okay. And further, he indicated to you, Mr. Murdaugh did, that he felt this was related to the boat case, and you indicated you knew about the boat case, you read about the boat case.
That's correct.
And in the boat case, Paul had been charged with three counts of felony DUI, killing a young girl and wounding two others, correct?
I don't know much details about that case. I really don't.
Okay. But Mr. Murdaugh indicated to you that the threats made against Paul.
He did.
And that he even got in a fight once about it.
I believe he said punched.
Punched, okay. And so it, on the scene, he believed that Paul's death was connected to someone angry about the boat case, correct?
Object to that, Your Honor, as to what he believed. Asking the witness what another person believed.
Object is overruled.
Thank you. On the scene, Mr. Murdaugh indicated to you he thought the death of his son was related to his son's involvement in the death of the young lady and the injury of two others in the boat case, correct?
It appeared that that's what he was getting at, yes.
Okay. That's on the tape. Now, let's talk a little bit about the preservation of the crime scene. What did you do other than put yellow tape up to preserve the crime scene?
That is about the extent of my job, is to put up the tape and make sure people that don't need to cross it don't cross it.
And I noticed that there were officers walking around putting little pieces of tape near shell casings.
There was one officer doing that, yes.
And in the process of doing that, I didn't see any lights other than maybe a flashlight. Were there any, did y'all put up any sort of high intensity lights so people could make sure they weren't stepping on something in the dark?
At that point, there was no additional lighting that had been put up. No.
But you and your officers were walking through that entire area, is that correct?
We were walking in the area, yes.
Okay, and did you actually walk up? I mean, the feed room, maybe this is the best way to do this.
How? Pictures, please.
I'd like to use the Elmo. Thank you. I have two photographs. I'm going to use the Elmo in just a moment to show this witness. I'm going to offer these into evidence without objection by the state, as I understand it.
Mr. Markle, I have no objection. I would note they're graphic and they need to be shielded from view.
Elmo ready?
They can be marked. What would the exhibit numbers be for the defense? Defense 1 and 2 are admitted without objection.
Okay, good. So, thank you. I'm going to first show you the picture and see if you can identify it, please.
That would be a picture of Paul.
And the second one, which would be exhibit number 2?
Picture of Maggie.
And when you say picture of Paul and picture of Maggie, these are crime scene photos, correct?
They appear to be, yes.
Is this what you saw that night?
Yes.
Both of these pictures?
Yes.
Accurately depict what you saw that night?
Yes.
So as you look at this, I want to make sure I understand. One of Paul's feet is still inside. This is the feed room behind him, correct?
Yes.
And this is his head, lots of blood, and this would be a part of his brain lying next to him, correct?
I don't know if that's part of his brain or not.
All right, so it's fair to say you didn't know whether that was part of his brain. When you first saw him, you didn't know whether his injuries were catastrophic and he was dead, or did you?
It was very clear that it was catastrophic.
Okay, that's great. When you came upon the scene, clearly this feed room was part of the crime scene, correct?
Yes.
Now, you're taught to keep the crime scene pristine, correct?
As pristine as possible, yes.
There was no reason for you to go in there, was there?
Me at the time, no.
Okay. Was there any reason for the police, before the sled crime folks showed up, was there any reason for you all to go in there?
There's no reason for me to go in there. I cannot speak if there was a reason for another officer to have gone in there.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you all have any sort of crime scene expert with you that night, someone that processes crime scenes?
Investigators do process crime scenes.
Okay. Do you remember going in that meeting room?
I don't remember if I did specifically or
but
not.
But you shouldn't have if you did, correct?
It's not to say that I shouldn't have. If there was something that needed to be done in there, then yes.
I guess what I'm getting at is, I think one of the, and you would agree with me, one of the cardinal rules of a crime scene is keep it pristine. Don't walk over things. Try to preserve tire tracks. Get pictures of them. Footprints. All those sorts of things. Was somebody with the officers with you, were you in charge of the scene?
I was in charge of the deputies that were under my immediate supervision until someone higher than me arrived on scene.
And were those deputies directed by you or anyone to do something to preserve the tire tracks, pictures, cordon them off, cover them up?
I did not give anyone that instruction, no.
So you didn't do that. In terms of Paul, where Paul was laying, was anybody instructed, you know, put a cordon around him? There's no reason to go into the feed room. There's no reason to do anything obtrusive until the sled crime scene processes. They're on the way at this point, right?
I believe they were, yes.
And so if... Okay. So let's put the other one up. And identify this for me, please.
That's Maggie Murdo.
Your Honor, may we approach here briefly?
Stop bugging me.
And can you identify this for the jury, please?
That picture?
Yeah.
It's Maggie Murdo.
After she's been killed.
That's correct.
And by the way, when you saw her from, I mean, was it apparent that she was deceased? You believe, I mean, but you have you ever seen a dead body before?
I have seen multiple, yes.
Many, right?
Yes.
So you're sort of an expert in this area, who's dead, who's not, who ought to get EMS there to check them out or not, correct? You make that call off.
Yes.
Okay. But you could understand, obviously, Alex Murdaugh's concern that they might be alive, that maybe, I mean, you're not saying that he shouldn't be concerned that somebody checked out both Maggie and Paul to make sure they were dead, right?
He was very concerned about that, yes.
Okay. Now, as to Maggie Murdaugh, we see these numbers. Did y'all do these numbers, or were they done after y'all were there?
I don't know when those numbers were done. They were not placed by myself.
Or your team.
I can't say that for sure. Certain.
We see that in the video. They're putting down yellow tape. They're not putting these down, correct?
That's correct.
Now, you also, according to the video we saw, a number of your officers are walking around marking where cartridges are, right?
They were.
Did they pick any of them up?
No, not to my knowledge.
Well, later on, we see them talking to you and others on the video where they're saying these rounds came from a blackout. They were blackout rounds. For blackout.
300 blackout, yes, sir.
Right. I mean, did they get down on their hands and knees and look? Or, I mean, did they
pick You would them? Have to ask them. I don't know what they did to know that they were 300 blackout rounds.
Well, who were those officers that were wrong? Walking around her without a light on, perhaps stepping on evidence, correct? Who are those officers?
Deputy McDowell and Deputy Pruitt were both in that area.
Were they doing that pursuant to your instruction?
They were not specifically instructed to do it. They were just took the initiative to do it.
Okay, I don't know. I want to play.
You ready? Do I have to turn the ammo off?
Are you good?
Yeah, you're good.
Well, the desk over there.
Okay, so this is your officer is putting a sheet on Paul's body?
Not putting a sheet on. The sheet was already there.
Already there. Okay. Continue, please.
Fire rescue might have some more sheets being stealed.
That's why it shouldn't be.
If you all pull for several areas, and more.
Who's that standing inside the feed room?
Just inside that doorway was Deputy McDowell.
Okay. Okay. Were you the present? Oh, that's your body cam, so you're watching him do it, right?
That's correct.
Should he have done that?
Stand where he's standing?
Standing inside the feed room.
It's part of the crime scene. We're all standing inside of the crime scene.
Inside what?
The crime scene. We are all standing in the same crime scene.
I understand the same crime scene, but clearly you believe, based on discussion, and everyone in your unit believe, that the fatal shot was made where he's basically standing, correct? That in that area.
Where we are all standing.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Is that procedure to walk around on top of an area where shots have been fired? Perhaps, and I think even in this, they're talking about tissue or brain matter laying there. I mean, aren't you supposed to? You don't put anything on your feet.
Question. There's not a question in that statement.
Let's sustain. You must pose questions.
Did you in any way have your men or women put protective gear on their feet? I saw you put gloves on, but did they put anything to insulate them? Cells from contaminating the scene.
On their feet, no.
In many instances, departments around the country have people dress in a gown to keep their DNA, their hair, from contaminating the scene. Do you do that?
We do not on road patrol with Gallatin County as standard practice, no.
You do not do that?
Not as standard practice, no.
Have you ever done that?
I have not.
Have you ever had something covering your feet when you're walking on a crime scene?
I couldn't tell you that for sure.
Now, if we later on find, and did you notice bloody footprints? Well, first of all, did you notice bloody footprints inside the feed room?
I don't remember seeing any.
Sorry?
I don't remember seeing any bloody footprints.
Okay. If there were bloody footprints in the feed room, could they have been created by you or your men?
They could have been created by anyone walking in that area, sure.
And you're walking in there, or your men are walking in there, correct?
Yeah, correct.
And you think that's standard operating procedure?
Well, you do your best not to contaminate anything.
And this is your best?
What you're looking at right now is standard procedure.
To walk in an area where there's blood, where there's brain matter, where there's, and I believe there's wadding laying on the floor?
I don't recall.
But you would agree with me that you have these procedures so that you don't contaminate the crime scene, so that you don't destroy evidence like those tire tracks or those footprints or leave your DNA or in some way alter the scene so that if, I mean, you would agree with me, so that, let me finish the question, so that if there is exculpatory or inculpatory evidence that would help you find the perpetrator and prosecute him, or evidence that would clear somebody, that was destroyed. Some of that was destroyed that night because you, your department, and maybe even SWED, didn't preserve that evidence. Isn't that correct?
I'm not sure if I fully understand your question.
The question is this. If you are exfoliating, you're standing, your men are standing in the spot, and there was evidence there, or the tire tracks that weren't preserved, or the footprints that weren't preserved, if that evidence could either incriminate somebody or exculpate somebody, could, correct?
Could, yes.
That's why you don't do this, right?
That's why you don't contaminate the evidence, correct.
Thank you for the call.
Just a couple more questions. You put yellow tape around the kennel, right?
We put it around the whole area.
Did you put it so that folks couldn't drive in and out?
They were not to go past where my vehicle was parked. I believe that was the extent of the yellow tape.
Yeah, but between your vehicle and the entrance, there was none of those tire tracks were preserved.
Entrance of
the property. That if somebody driven into the property.
You mean from the main road of Moselle?
From the main road.
All the vehicles were coming in on that driveway.
Right. So if somebody had come in and left, who committed the murders, whatever tire tracks that were left were obliterated by your men. Is that right?
It's possible.
Were you there when the coroner arrived?
Given my extent of the time there, I would assume so, but I don't remember
specifically. You don't remember seeing the coroner?
I may have. I don't remember specifically.
Apparently, according to the body cam, you didn't talk to him.
Not on my body camera, but it could have been after the body camera was turned off. I don't know.
And why did you turn it off?
Why was the body camera turned off?
Yeah.
Once my specific job of doing any primary investigation after my initial arrival is completed and I'm not going to be doing anything further to investigate, it's no longer needed.
Thank you. Answer a follow-up question.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. You were asked a series of questions about contaminating evidence. Are you aware that any evidence was contaminated in this case?
I'm not.
Did you engage in everything you could to avoid contaminating evidence?
Yes.
Did you, in fact, instruct your deputies to set up a crime scene and instruct them to avoid areas where evidence might be contaminated?
We did everything we possibly could to avoid contaminating
evidence. Your officers all have basic training in trying to avoid contamination of evidence?
Yes.
Are you also, though, as first responders in a fluid situation, doing the best you can to assess what's going on?
Correct.
It's not your job to do the actual crime scene investigation work, is that correct?
Not at all.
You were asked about whether or not you'd had any meetings with prosecutors. Is it common for law enforcement witnesses or any witnesses to meet with prosecutors prior to a trial?
Very common.
Okay. Did anybody ask you to do anything but express your accurate, honest opinions and observations about what you observed at this scene?
No.
You were asked about this particular shotgun right here, this 12-gauge shotgun. This is the shotgun that Alec Murdoch had when you arrived at the scene. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And you were asked about the shells right here. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Did you unload this weapon?
I did.
Was it unloaded by somebody else after you turned it over to them?
Yes.
You asked a little bit about the 300 blackout casings or cases that were at the scene. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. And just real quick, explain to the jury what a casing or a case is, please.
So a casing would be what would be left after the projectile has been fired through a weapon.
After it's been fired, the shell that comes out of the gun and lands on the ground near the victim. Is that
That's
correct?
That's correct.
So it's the remnants of a fired round. Is that right?
That's correct.
There were multiple ones of those blackouts surrounding Maggie. Is that correct?
That is correct.
You were asked a lot about the tire tracks, and you just happened to notice those over behind the defendant's vehicle. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And we had a still image put into evidence, exhibit number 5. This is it right here, which is the still image. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. And the still image doesn't reflect as good as what the video does. Is that right? You can see
the video shows it much better.
Much better. All right. Were these like tracks in the dirt, or were these just impressions in the grass, in the dewy grass?
They appear to be impressions in the dewy grass. Okay. Dewy grass.
They weren't like tracks in the dirt that you saw, correct?
No.
All right. I'm going to go back to the video. I'm playing it at approximately 25 minutes and 11 seconds.
Maybe. Okay. From earlier, but okay. Only two were mine.
Did you go out this way at all?
No.
Billy trap.
From me back.
Let's go over to that corner of the building.
I'm almost to you. Let me see what we have first, whether or not we all handle that part or not.
I see quite a few tire tracks in here. Were any of these you going in and out?
No, I came in here and I left one time and I came back.
Okay.
Like the rest of them, maybe.
Okay.
From earlier, but
okay.
Only two were mine.
Did you go out this way?
So the images that we just saw, those were the Dewey impressions in the grass that you were just talking about. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And the defendant said two of them were mine, and the rest of them may have been from earlier. Is that correct?
Yes.
You were asked a little bit about the boat case. Did you have any detailed knowledge or understanding of the boat case when you arrived at the scene?
No.
You just knew very generally that there was some boat case, is that right?
Yes, it had been in the news.
Did you even realize that this was that Paul Murdoch when you arrived on the scene?
Not until he had brought up the boat incident.
And who brought up the boat incident?
Mr. Murdoch did.
And within a few minutes of you arriving, he's the one that brought up the boat incident, is that correct? And he offered that right out of the gate as a possible explanation for what happened here, is that right?
Yes.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Anything further?
Yeah, Your Honor. Did you find it unreasonable for him to say that his son, who'd been involved in this incident, who'd been threatened on numerous occasions, been punched? He told you he'd been punched, right?
He did.
Okay. That was a possible explanation. Not implausible for somebody killing Paul. You didn't bite back on him, did you?
No.
And it was, in his mind, apparently the only reasonable explanation that occurred, right?
I don't know what was in his
mind. Well, I mean, that's what he told you. That's what he believed.
That was the statement that he made, yes.
Okay. And just one other follow-up question. You were asked if there was any evidence, the Dewey tire tracks. This was at 10 o'clock at night. Was there dew on the ground already?
It was pretty humid out. There was a lot of
dew. It was humid?
Yeah.
It wasn't like in the morning?
This was not morning time.
So, and are you telling me no one could have looked, no expert could have looked and said, you know, that's a Suburban, that's a pickup truck, that's, no one could do that?
Or I'm not going to pretend to know what an expert in that kind of stuff can and can't do.
But you're not an expert. Did you believe those tire tracks would last until Sled got there?
Yes, it appeared that they probably would.
Did you point them out to Sled?
Did I do what?
Did you point them out to Sled?
I did not.
You may step down. I'll call your next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. The state calls Corporal McDowell.
Raise your right hand for me. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you give to the court in this trial shall be the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. If you'll have a seat and adjust that microphone, make sure you speak into that microphone. State your name and spell your last name, please.
My name is Chad McDowell. The last name is spelled M-C-D-O-W-E-L-L.
Corporal McDowell, how are you doing today?
Good.
Tell the jury where you work, please.
I work for Collegiate County Sheriff's Office. I'm assigned to the Road Patrol, the K-9 handler.
Okay, and can you just give us a quick background of who you are, where you grew up, and how you ended up in your career in law enforcement?
Sure. I grew up in Collegiate County, went to Collegiate County High School, went to college at Tri-County Technical College, where I studied criminal justice. Once I reached age, I came home, was hired by Collegiate County Sheriff's Office, left for a couple of years to go work for Jasper County, and then came back to Colleton. I've been assigned to Road Patrol at Colleton.
All right. And what year did you first start working for Colleton County Sheriff's Department or began your law enforcement career?
2016. All
right. And what's your current, you said you're a corporal now, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And what is your current assignment? What are your duties?
I'm still assigned to Road Patrol. I'm a K-9 handler.
All right. And you say K-9. Explain to the jury what that is.
So I have a K-9 that is assigned to me. We respond to certain calls or if we're requested by another deputy for narcotics searches for suspects, things of that matter.
All right. Canine is a dog, correct?
That's correct.
All right. What's your dog's name?
Eva.
Eva? What kind of dog is Eva?
He's a Belgian Malinois.
Malinois?
Yep.
Is that kind of like a German Shepherd?
Kind of. Short-haired, pointy ears.
I got you. Short-haired, pointy ears. Is Evo typically with you when you're out on patrol?
Yes, sir.
Was Evo with you the night of June 7th, 2021?
Yes, sir.
Were you a corporal then at that time?
No, sir. I was a deputy.
All right. And who was on the squad that you were on?
Sergeant Daniel Green, Corporal Elise Janicki, myself, and Deputy Pruitt, Cody Pruitt.
And so who was your immediate supervisor?
It would have been Corporal Janicki.
Okay. And then above that is?
Sergeant Green.
All right. And then above that?
Lieutenant Nettles.
All right. And then above that?
Captain Krause.
Okay. Right. What shift were you? Were you working the night of June 7th, 2021?
Yes, sir, I was.
And that was in Colleton County?
Yes, sir.
And what shift were you working that night?
Night shift.
Did you ultimately respond to a call for service at 4147 Moselle Road?
Yes, sir.
And you actually went there?
I did.
And did you come to the incident location at the kennels at that property at 4147 Moselle Road?
I did.
Is that in Colleton County?
It is.
Were you, when you arrived, what other first responders were on scene to your recollection?
Sergeant Green was there. There was one other fire rescue personnel vehicle in there. I believe the rest were staged, best I can remember. When I say staged, I mean at the head of the driveway. There may have been a couple of other apparatuses on scene.
And which do you recall which driveway you entered? Did you enter the driveway near the kennels? Where you came from?
Yes, sir. It was same driveway everyone else entered.
So you were parked behind Sergeant Green's?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What did you do after that, after you got out of your vehicle? What did you do?
I approached the crime scene. I was trying to make my way to Sergeant Green to see what he needed me to do. I made my way through the crime scene as carefully as I could. I approached Sergeant Green, saw that he was interviewing the only person on scene. So I went back to my vehicle.
Okay. And did you see who he was interviewing?
Mr. Murdaugh. Yes, sir.
Do you see him in the courtroom here today?
Yes, sir.
Can you point him out?
Yes, sir. He's in the middle, navy blue suit.
Your Honor, can the record reflect these identify the defendant?
It does.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as Exhibit 6 to your testimony.
No objection.
And this is a disc, but I want you to take a look at it and see if you recognize this disc.
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, and what is on this disc?
It'd be body cam footage from my body cam that I wore.
All right, and how do you know that this is that body cam footage?
It has my initials on it.
All right, so you reviewed this and put your initials on it, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. If I could get input, please. Let me ask you this. When you got this call for service, were you currently on another call for service, or are you just out on patrol?
No, sir. I was just out on patrol.
Once you got that call for service, what did you do? Did you activate your lights and sirens?
I activated lights and sirens and responded to the incident location.
And once you do that, do you make all haste to get to that incident location as fast, but it also as reasonably safe as you can?
Yes, sir.
Is that standard operating procedure?
Yes, sir.
The first 10 minutes of this body cam are essentially you driving to the scene. Is that correct, roughly?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to fast forward to closer in time when you arrive. her proceed to the route? What was that?
I had a GPS activated on my phone.
Just like most people use, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Take a slight left turn. In a quarter mile, arrive at 4147 Moselle Road.
So, Foundation on sale, Moselle?
Not sure, Foundation.
Are these the kennels that you saw when you arrived at the property?
Yes, sir.
And to the right is sort of the shed or the hangar, is that correct?
That's correct.
Let me ask you this. You're obviously serving as a road patrol officer, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Do you? What is your job as a road patrol officer, as a first responder, when you come upon a scene like this? What is your particular role as you arrive at something like this?
We go on scene, we secure the scene, meaning make sure there's no active threat for other arriving first responders. We'll preserve the scene to the best of our ability and then turn the scene over to arriving detectives.
When you arrive at a scene like this, are you constantly not only paying attention for any threat or anything like that, but also making sure that you don't disturb any sort of evidence that may be at the scene?
Yes, sir.
Is that part of your general training and standard operating procedure?
It is.
You also have to couple that, though, with the duties of a first responder, which is to get to that scene, to secure it, make sure there's no active threats, and get it under control. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So the duties of a first responder have both of those sort of balancing together. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Or are you constantly always looking around for evidence, not only to identify it, but also to assure that you don't disturb anything? Is that your general...
Objection, Your Honor. Weeding.
Thank you, Your Honor. What is your general training as a road officer as it relates to coming upon a scene and looking for evidence?
Our number one duty would be safety. Number two, we're looking for evidence so as not to disturb it.
Thank you. Right there to the right, what is that to the right of the screen?
It'd be Miss Myrtle's body.
Maggie Murdoch. 400 Grand Standard Murdoch.
Who are those individuals right there?
Sergeant Green and Mr. Myrtle.
How you doing?
What did the defendant say to you right there?
He said, "How are you doing?"
Did you know him?
No, sir.
How you doing? That's what he said?
Yes, sir.
What's her birthday?
I'm okay.
9/15/68.
And what's your son's first name? You said Paul?
Paul Terry Murdoch.
What's his birthday?
Put any covering them up?
I got something to rest down here. If I help somebody stop the grab it.
Tell them they don't have to do that.
He's asked that if we don't have to disturb anything, not to. We've got a sled on the way. Yep.
All right, what were you asking fire and rescue to do at that point?
Just to try to preserve it the best they could. If they didn't,
but what were you specifically asking them not to do?
Cover the bodies if they didn't have to. Right.
And what was their response, though?
I couldn't make it out. I believe he said we're covering them for family responding. I couldn't make it out. He's asked that if we don't have to disturb anything, not to. We've got a sled on the way.
Yeah. You recall now?
Again, it sounds like he says we're going to cover him up because of the family being here.
Okay. Does the family being here?
That's what it sounds like.
All right.
Right through here, go around this way here.
So this is a strong hug.
Yes, I agree.
I told everybody else to cancel, so we won't really have to come down here.
Hey, Cody, I need a piece of that tape. Whenever you get done.
What did you just ask Cody for?
A piece of tape, piece of crime scene tape.
All right, and who was Cody?
Deputy Pruitt. He's the one that you see there with the yellow crime scene tape.
And why did you ask Deputy Pruitt for some crime scene tape?
I had observed a shell casing on the ground. I wanted to mark it so that it didn't become disturbed.
Your general duties as an officer, you observed something and you asked for some tape to mark it. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And that's what you were previously describing your role as. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. If y'all don't mind, just mark them. Do what? Okay. I got a casing right here, so watch your step.
That casing that you saw, did you recognize what kind of ammunition it was?
Yes, sir.
What kind of ammunition was it?
300 blackout casing.
And how could you tell it was a 300 blackout casing?
Just my own personal experience. I own a 300 blackout, and I recognize it.
You recognize the case from your own experience?
Yes, sir.
All right. Blackout. Did you observe any dogs in the kennels?
I did.
Do you remember how many or where they were?
I do not remember.
More than one dog, though?
I don't remember.
They said they had several casings by her body, but this one will be a little bit harder later, so I want to mark it real fast.
Mark that casing. Were you careful not to disturb its location where you found it?
Yes, sir. I placed the tape beside it and then placed a rock on top so it wouldn't blow away.
Why are there so many shell casings and only one?
That to everyone. Well, what was that loud noise?
It's just my windshield wipers.
And why was it making that noise?
They had removed all the moisture, I guess.
I don't see anybody. Can I see a couple more pieces? I found some more.
Matter of fact,
yeah, I'm trying to figure out why there's 300 blackout. Trying to figure out why there's so many shell casings, but only one gunshot went to the back of each head. Not my job to figure that out, I'm just curious. I only saw one more casing, but just in case I see more. Daniel put his car in there. So, no. This is, I'll tell you about this in a minute. There's one there. There's blood over here. You looking at shell casings or are you in a blackout? Sheriff?
Those cases that you were marking right there, did you at all disturb the location where you saw them?
No, sir.
Is it your job to be doing a crime scene collection for this case, or are you just doing that to assist those who will do that will arrive at a later time?
No, sir. I don't collect anything. I'm just marking it so that they're not disturbed.
Probably. Yeah, those will be easy to find. I was just marking a couple that were in the gravel that might be harder to see at some point. Y'all familiar with this family?
I wasn't until he told me.
I'll fill you in later. I don't think there's going to be anything for Manny to do here.
What did you just say right there?
I don't think there's going to be anything for me and Evo to do here.
Right. What did you mean by that?
There was no article search that needed to be conducted right then and there. Putting Evo on the ground could have caused more of a disturbance than just leaving him up.
Because I'd say...
You said for Evo to do?
Yeah, for me and Evo. Please watch your...
Hey, watch this step. Jesus Christ. Huh?
Okay, one coming out of the road.
The gentleman in the white shirt, is that husband of her?
It's going to be retaliation from family.
He did have a firearm. I pulled up a shotgun.
All right. I'm going to now show you a portion of what's been previously admitted to evidence as Exhibit 1. For the record, I'm starting it at 4227. Who's that to the right of the screen right there?
That would be me.
All right, and what are you about to do?
Step inside and assist CID with lifting that sheet.
All right, and were you asked to do that?
Yes, sir.
And who asked you to do that?
Captain Chapman.
All right, and where is Captain Chapman in this image?
In the middle.
And is he a senior officer to you?
At that time.
Okay. And I noticed before you moved, what did you do?
Turned my light on.
And why did you turn on your light?
So that I could plainly see what was underneath me, where I was going.
Did you disturb any evidence or anything as you started to go into the feed room?
No, sir.
Were you careful to avoid doing that?
Yes, sir.
Did you kick any shell casings or waddings or anything like that when you went into the feed room?
No, sir.
Did you step on any bloody footprints when you went into the feed room?
No, sir.
If you had seen something like that before you stepped in there, what would you have done?
I would have stopped and notified the detective.
Fire rescue might have some more sheets to instill.
That's right. It should be using my car to go all the way to the air and all the way.
Do you recall what, if anything, was laying on Paul's rear end?
His cell phone, or a cell phone.
Is that it in this image right here?
Yes, sir.
I haven't asked the dad about the phone, but dad did say he came over and checked the pulses. Beyond that, I don't know what else he did. He did have a shotgun with him. I have secured that in my vehicle.
Did you kind of jump out of the feed room just then?
Yes, sir.
Did you turn on your light before you did so?
I believe so.
Watch it again. Did you jump out when you left the feed room?
Yes, sir.
And why'd you jump out like that?
Try not to disturb the body. It was easier to leap out than to try to step.
Did you enter the feed room at any point after that, to your recollection?
Not to my recollection.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as defense exhibit number one and see if you recognize this particular image.
Yes, sir.
And I'll switch inputs, please. Does that appear to, is that how you found Paul when you arrived at the scene?
Yes, sir.
And were his hands underneath him in that fashion when you arrived at the scene?
Yes, sir.
State Exhibit 7, I believe, without objection. Without objection. I'll show you what's been marked as Exhibit 7 and see if you recognize that image.
Yes, sir.
And what is that?
It's a still image of video of my body-worn camera.
Is that a still image of when the defendant said, "How you doing?" You walked up?
Yes, sir.
Court's adult is on the
cross-examination.
Please report, Your Honor. So, when you got to the scene, who was your supervisor?
Can you repeat that question? I couldn't hear you.
I'm sorry. But that's okay. I'll speak a little bit louder. When you got to the scene, who was your supervisor?
Sergeant Green.
Sergeant Green. And I believe Sergeant Green was instructing y'all to put some yellow tape up. You did some of that?
No, sir.
You didn't do any of that?
Deputy Pruitt, yes, but I didn't.
Sergeant Green, what was his instructions to you? What were you there to do? Number one, let me withdraw that question. Were you there to apprehend somebody?
Not at the time, no, sir. I was just there to assist where needed.
Assist doing what?
Whatever was needed of me.
Were you all attempting to determine what happened?
We there as initial responders were there to secure the scene.
Okay, secure the scene. And secure the scene for further processing by SLED?
By our investigators. I learned later on that SLED was responding as well.
So let me, by way of example, you went down to where Paul's body was. It was covered with a sheet. You see that on the video, correct?
Not when I initially responded, but yes, sir.
No, but the video we just saw.
Yes, sir.
And why were y'all, was there a purpose in going down there and pulling the sheet back, looking around it?
I believe they were looking for another weapon.
What kind of weapon?
I believe they were looking for a 300 blackout.
But, we saw in the picture, if you look at Paul's body, there's no 300 blackout laying next to him. Correct?
No, sir.
I'm correct.
Yes, you are correct. No, there was no 300 blackout laying beside him.
Okay, so you say you're down there looking for another weapon. Where were you looking for another weapon?
I wasn't, sir. I was assisting lifting the sheet for detectives.
And you can see you stepped into the feed room.
Yes, sir.
And based on the way Paul was laying, and of course you did have a flashlight and you were looking, try not to step on anything. Did you have anything to insulate your feet? In some jurisdictions, they have little baggy things they put over their feet to make sure they don't contaminate the scene. Did you have those on?
No, sir.
And did you, when you stepped in, you got a flashlight, what you were looking at with the visible eye, you're determining you weren't disturbing the scene, correct?
That's correct.
You made an effort not to.
Yes, sir.
You don't know whether you did or you didn't.
To my knowledge, I did not.
But you can't say that you didn't. To your knowledge.
Can you repeat that?
To your knowledge, you didn't.
To my knowledge, I did not disturb anything.
Okay. But you would concede there's microscopic evidence sometimes of crime scenes, correct?
Yes, sir. That's possible.
And you didn't have a microscope.
No, sir.
But SLED's crime team would look very closely, would they not? They would not. I mean, as far as I could tell, you were looking basically for 3 or 4 feet away from the floor, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So what you can see with the naked eye at night with a flashlight from 3 or 4 feet is what you base your opinion you didn't disturb anything.
That's correct.
Now, and you don't know why they were looking for another weapon, but you don't know what other weapon, you don't know where that weapon might have been. And again, multiple deputies had seen Paul's body before he was covered with a sheet, right?
Myself, Sergeant Green did.
Okay. Were y'all, in your presence, any of the other officers with you there that night, did any of them discuss this as a possible murder-suicide?
It's possible. It's not to my recollection.
Okay. Now, when you were going out and we saw you mark a shell casing, was that in the grass or on the dirt road?
I believe the first one was in gravel.
In the gravel, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Okay, but you found others, right?
Yes, sir.
And to do that, you had to walk around in the grass?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And again, you've got a flashlight, you're looking, and you don't know what was in the grass that you may have disturbed around those shell cases.
No, sir.
You don't know?
No, sir.
You may have disturbed something.
It's possible.
And I guess what I'm trying to ask is, why then were you trying to look for shell casings? Why couldn't you wait till the next morning? Why was this urgency? I mean, was somebody getting away? I don't quite understand why.
I can't answer that. I don't know. I didn't know if somebody was getting away or not.
Did somebody instruct you to go find shell casings?
No, sir.
You just did it on your own initiative?
Yes, sir.
And you concede that you may have disturbed or destroyed evidence in that process?
Microscopic or something I didn't see.
Well, microscopic, something down in the grass. I mean, you're walking on grass, right?
Yes, sir.
Smooth surface like in the shed, in the feed room, but it's grass at night, correct?
Yes, sir.
And I guess what I'm trying to wonder is what y'all were doing. Were you trying to solve a crime? Were you trying to just index everything was there? And when did you find out Sled was coming?
So we're trying to mark everything there. As you can tell, there were multiple units going back and forth, fire rescue as well as sheriff's office. We try to mark it so that it brings awareness to them and it doesn't become disturbed.
I'm sorry, I can't understand. I can't hear you.
There were multiple units on scene,
right.
Sheriff's office as well as fire rescue.
Right.
The reason that I saw urgency to mark those shell casings is so that it brings awareness to those of us that were walking around and they don't become disturbed.
Well, that brings up the question, should you have been walking around? If you got two dead people, whoever the perpetrator was, at that point y'all hadn't identified, had you?
No, sir.
Okay, so my perpetrator may be in the woods across the street, as far as you know at that point, right?
Could have been anywhere.
Right. So you're not trying to solve a crime, you're processing a scene?
I'm not processing anything.
You don't know what you're doing.
I just told you what I was doing, sir.
You're marking pieces of evidence?
Yes, sir.
And the urgency to do that was so that no one else would walk over?
Yes, sir.
While you're walking around them?
Around, yes, sir.
Well, you don't know whether you actually stepped on one or not, do you?
I was very careful not to.
Okay. Now, let me also ask you this. The pattern of the first shell casing was how far away from the feed room?
I can't say.
That you found?
The first shell casing I found?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
10 feet, 20 feet, more than me, further than?
Probably about the same distance from me to you.
Okay. From the feed room door?
Yes, sir.
Now, I understand, you got a blackout, right?
Yes, sir.
And when you fire that, does it eject to the right or the left?
To the right. Mine does.
Okay. So, if the feed room is where I am, that shell casing ejected to the right, right and forward, right and back? What do you know?
Are you asking where the shell casing was in relation to the door? It would have been forward and right of the door.
Forward and right of the door. And there was the pattern of casings leading, do they all lead to her body?
I can't remember.
Did you sketch where you found them?
No, sir. I did not do a crime scene sketch.
Have you ever done a crime scene sketch?
No, sir.
Tell me your training in crime scene processing.
It's very basic, limited, what you would get at the Criminal Justice Academy.
Very basic.
Yes, sir.
So you're not a crime scene processor. again, and I'm not asking this question repetitively, I'm just trying to puzzle it out. What, you don't know what your role was there?
I was a first responder.
Well, they were dead, Paul and Maggie, right? You couldn't render them any aid.
Your Honor, I would object. No question in that statement.
Is there a question?
Could you have rendered them aid? Were they in a physical condition where your assistance would have helped?
No, sir.
They were dead. Correct?
Are you asking? Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay, let me show you a couple of these clips and ask about them. Here, and I've got time. You don't have to go through the... Okay, would you go to 1040?
How does that mean?
Yes.
I don't want to be yes.
Okay, this is you walking, and these are the dog pens over here to the left, correct?
Yes, sir.
And on right in front of that, one of the dog pens, is a hose that is neatly coiled around a hose, something holding the hose, right?
That's what it looks like.
Okay, go ahead. Mr. Waters asked you about this just a moment ago when he said, how you doing when somebody walked up. You would concede to me that but for that one quip, he appears to be distraught over the death of his wife and son.
He appeared visibly upset.
Yes. Okay. Other than this, how you doing sort of thing, right?
Correct.
Okay. Also, we see him in a T-shirt and a pair of shorts. Correct?
Yes, sir.
I've looked at your report. I looked at everybody that encountered him that night. No report indicates any blood visible on him. You would agree with that?
I didn't observe any.
What?
I did not observe any.
Okay. It's a white shirt.
Yes, sir.
If you noted blood on him, you would have put that in your notes or reported that to somebody, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How about when you see 1845?
$300 blackout.
That's you apparently determining the shell casing you found is a $300 blackout, correct?
The one that I marked, yes, sir.
The one was in the gravel?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's all the video. Just a couple final questions. Since I have no further questions.
Can you read that right?
Very briefly, Your Honor.
Are you a first responder?
Yes, sir.
Your first job is safety, correct?
Yes, sir.
Second job is to protect the scene, is that correct?
Objection, weedy.
Thank you. Tell me what your jobs as a first responder are again, please.
Yes, sir. We secure the scene, make sure there's no current threat for additional first responders. We then secure the scene, make sure that nobody comes in that's not supposed to, so that we preserve any evidence that's there.
As part of your training to avoid disturbing the scene as best you can?
Yes, sir.
Still paying attention to your primary role?
Yes, sir.
As part of your training and your experience, and what you try to do is if you do see
objection,
evidence...
Objection, Your Honor. Leading.
I'll rephrase, Your Honor. If you are on scene and you do see evidence while you were there, what is your standard operating procedure in that event?
I would mark it.
And why do you do that?
Just to bring awareness to it so that it's not disturbed.
Is your job to be a crime scene investigator?
No, sir.
You're just marking that? I'll rephrase. You were asked earlier about apprehending any suspects. Was Mr. Murdoch ever in custody?
No, sir, not to my recollection.
To your observation, was he allowed to move freely?
Yes, sir.
Was he allowed to interact with people who came to talk to him?
Yes, sir.
Was he ever placed in the back of a police car?
Not that I'm aware of.
Never put in handcuffs?
No, sir.
Was he being treated as a suspect when you were there?
Not that I'm aware of.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Thank you. You may step down. Put the lights back up. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll break for lunch. We will resume at 2:15. Please do not discuss the case. In recess till 2:15.
That wraps up the second hour and a half exactly of cross-examination here on the 26th of January in the Alex Murdaugh case. There are still approximately 2 more hours of coverage we have for you right here on our feed. As I've been saying, just press subscribe and it will be next in sequential order for you to continue your listening of the coverage of the Alex Murdaugh trial in its entirety of day number 2. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk. talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.